2 John, and we're going to be looking at the first four verses tonight. But let me give you a little bit of an introduction to the book, all right? This is just a little tiny book in the Bible, and it's only got 13 verses, so it's a very short book. But it was a book written by John. Now, John wrote the book of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And what other book did John write? John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Revelation. Okay, so he wrote those five books. John wrote those books. And as we consider this book tonight, John wrote it probably about 97 A.D., Now, John was the youngest of Jesus' disciples. John may have been the only one still alive when he wrote this book, because the other disciples were all killed as martyrs. And by this time, John may have been a very old man, because Jesus was born about 5 B.C. So about by 97, if Jesus was still alive, he would have been 100. All right, so that would have been, and so John, when John was with Jesus in his ministry, even if John was only 20 when he started out with his ministry with Jesus, that would make him an old man. He'd be in his 80s by this time. So he was an old man. He writes to this letter, and he calls himself the elder. The elder. The word elder means old, and it's also used as a person who was an older person in responsibility, but here he's probably referring to the fact that he's an old man. He was an old preacher. He'd been around for a long time. He was an old man now, and writing this letter. Now, he wrote this short little letter, and notice the first verse. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." Now, that's an unusual way to start a letter. Most of the books of the Bible don't start out written to an elect lady and her children. Some people think that this elect lady is just a kind of a symbolic name for a church and the members of the church. That's a possibility, but nowhere else in the Bible does it ever refer like that. Nowhere else in the Bible does it call a church a lady. Nowhere else in the Bible does it call the people of the congregation her children. It doesn't call it. So it's probably referring to a real lady. It was probably a lady that John knew, who was a godly Christian. And the word that is used here is an unusual word in as far as the Bible goes, because it doesn't use it very often. It's a word that means lady, but it's the word curia. And some people believe that curia was the lady's name, and it simply means lady. That's a possibility. And so we'll just refer to the lady that he's writing to as curia, as we talk about it here in this little study of this book. Now, in this book, it's emphasizing two things. It's emphasizing, first of all, the importance of truth, and it's also emphasizing the importance of rejecting those who deny the deity of Christ. All right, so those are two things. God wants us to know the truth, and he wants us to separate from people who reject the truth. And so it's important for us to see these two things. Now, the first four verses of what we're going to look at here tonight, and they deal with the topic of truth. So let's read those first four verses, and it'll lay the foundation. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, and mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Now, in these verses, you notice one word that keeps coming up again and again and again is that word truth. And so tonight we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about what the truth is. And as we look at these, I want us to learn several things about truth that we need to know. Number one, truth is a Christian's bond. It's what binds us together. It's why we're here together. It's why we love each other. It's because of the truth. It's because of the truth. And the truth is our source, then, of our Christian love. Now, notice what John said. John said that he loved Korea and her children in the truth. He said he loved them in the truth. All right? And sometimes we might say, well, I love you in the Lord. Or something like that. That's similar to what he's saying there. I love you in the truth. because of what the truth has done for us. Now, William Nickel, one of the commentators, he said John's affection for her and her family was not merely personal. It was inspired by her devotion to the common cause and was shared by all the Christians. So he was saying the reason that John loved Korea and her children was not just because he knew her and she was a nice lady, but because of the relationship that she had with God, her devotion to God, to the truth. She knew the truth, she walked in the truth, she was part of the truth. And the truth is that common point around which we are bonded together as Christians. Now, what do we mean by the truth? Well, the truth is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of the Bible. It is the truth that what Jesus said and the things that he taught. These are the truths of the Bible, the things that are true in the Bible. Now, the word true is used as a, really is kind of like the hub of a wheel. If we were to draw a wheel on the board here, all right, if we draw this wheel here on the board, all right, so you got your wheel here. In the middle of the wheel is the hub, all right? Now, when you got the middle of the wheel is the hub, my wheel kind of looks funny, doesn't it? We'll get rid of that. All right, this is the center of the wheel. Now, everything on this wheel turns around that center. And truth really is the hub of Christianity. It's everything we believe is around the truth. The reason that we are here tonight is because of the truth of Jesus Christ. If we were here tonight because you all liked me, you probably wouldn't come. Because I'm not a good thing to be centered around. But we're centered around the truth of Christ, what he did for us. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he is the center of our truth. He's the center of everything we believe. He's the center of all that we stand for. He is the center of our lives. And John here, when he's writing to Korea, he says to her that he loves her in the truth. It's because of the truth that she believed in. She believed in the truth, and he believed in the truth that bound them together. I remember years and years ago, when I was just a young, not even a teenager. I was probably about 12, 13, maybe 13, that I went to a Bible camp. And you all know I got a terrible memory. But I remember the boy that I met, one of the first things when we got to camp, I didn't know anybody. I was there, didn't know anybody, and there was hundreds of kids there. Hundreds of kids at this camp. I didn't know a soul. And this one young fella came, and we got to know each other real soon. And his name was Mike something. Right? I remember his name, Mike. And we got to know each other. We got to like each other and enjoy each other. And it was like we had a bond. We had common interests. We had things, and a lot of it was centered around the Lord. We both were from Christian homes. We both knew the Lord. And it was a Christian camp, but Mike and I really just kind of hit it off. And it was centered around our common things we had together. And so it is in Christianity, we can meet somebody we've never met before, and as soon as you find out that they're a Christian, then it's like, wow, we've known each other forever. And we're friends because of Christ, because of the truth. And so it's centered around the truth, and that's the way John felt toward Korea. Now, as we think about this, I want us to look at some of the verses in the Bible. There are loads of verses in the Bible that talk about truth. And I'm just going to point out a few of them. John the Baptist came to bear witness of the truth. John chapter 5 and verse 33, it says, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." He was talking about the truth of Christ. John was witnessing of the truth of Jesus Christ. We find also that Jesus taught of the importance of truth in John 8:32, when Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you know the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from your sin. Free from the bondage of sin. The truth is that Jesus died for you, rose again to give you life, and if you'll put your faith in that, then you can be set free. That is the truth. And so the truth was the truth of the gospel. Jesus also said that he was the truth. Remember John 14:6? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So Jesus said, "I am the truth. Why was Jesus the truth if the gospel was the truth? Well, because Jesus provided the gospel. Jesus was the true one that came down from heaven, who died on the cross to give us eternal life, and that is the truth. So he was the truth in person, but he also provided the truth through the gospel. So Jesus is the truth. We find also that the Bible is the truth. John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer, the night before he went to the cross, it says, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible is truth. So God is truth. The Bible is truth. Salvation is truth. The way of the gospel is truth. Then we find also that unbelievers have changed the truth. Unbelievers say, I don't want to believe that stuff. I don't believe that. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 says that they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So people in our world today, they worship the things of this world. They worship money, they worship idols, they worship false things. And they turned the truth of God, the true message of salvation, the message of God's love, message that God cares about us, they turned that into a lie. Twisted it around, made it something different than it really is, and they defeated the purpose. Now, Christians are to also rejoice in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, rejoiceth in not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We ought to rejoice in what is true, not in something that is bad. We shouldn't be happy about bad things. We should be happy about good things. And the best thing is the truth of the gospel. Now, the truth of the gospel must be believed for a person to be saved. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That means to trick you or to deceive you. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He says, who deceived you into thinking that you shouldn't believe the truth? He said, you need to believe the truth. By believing the truth is what saves us. So believing the truth. So the truth is very, very important. Three more verses. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before of the truth of the gospel. He said, we heard from the word of God the truth of the gospel. The truth. And so the gospel truth is found, the gospel is the truth. And then also all who do not believe the truth are going to be damned. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So a person that does not believe the truth, they say, no, I will not believe that. If they don't believe the truth of the gospel, if they don't believe that Jesus came and died and rose again and to pay for their sins, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, that's not what God wants, but that's just a fact. That is the truth. They need to believe the truth. And then the last one that is really a good one is 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants all men to come to the truth. It says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, how do they come to the knowledge of the truth? They come to the knowledge of the truth by putting their faith in Jesus. When they put their faith in Jesus, they can know the truth, and the truth can set them free. And they can be saved, and they can become a new person in Christ. So the truth is very important. Now, these are just a tiny, tiny, tiny sample of all the verses in the Bible that talk about truth. I searched that word truth, and poof, there was loads of them. Lots and lots of verses that deal with the truth. So we get the idea here that the truth is all about God, it's about Jesus, it's about salvation, it's about the gospel, it's about the way to heaven. That's the truth. Right? Now, remember we said that the truth was the hub of our Christianity. Everything we believe is around the truth. And our friendships are centered around the truth. And our relationships are centered around the truth. And our church is built around the truth. And everything that we do as Christians ought to be centered and built around the truth. You know, there's a lot of religious people today that think that we ought to be centered around love. And we ought to, everybody, you know, let's all love each other and forget about doctrine and just, we'll just love each other because Jesus loves us and we'll love everybody. Well, God didn't say that love is the center of our relationship. He says the truth is. It's the truth that stands. It's the truth that does right. Love is changeable. And a lot of people have different opinions of what love is. But the truth is what we need to base it on. Now, let's move on. We find here that truth motivates Christian love. John was not the only one that loved Korea. Look at verse 1 again. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So he says, everybody that has come to know the truth, they also love Korea and her children. Why? Because the truth is that hub around which we build our relationship. And so we can love other Christians that we've never met before because they're part of the same relationship. They're focused around the truth. We have a common bond. Our common bond is the truth, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the truth of the Bible. That is our common bond. And so John says here that all those that have known the truth, they've come to know the truth, they also love Korea and her children. And that's a very important thing for us to see. Now, we must be cautious. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian truly knows the truth of the gospel. So be careful with it. Just because a person says, I'm a Christian, that doesn't mean that he's really centered his life around the God, around the truth. There's a lot of people out there that say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You say, well, how did you become a Christian? Oh, I've always been a Christian. And what do you mean? My mom and dad were Christians and I've always been in church. I've always been a Christian. Well, that's not a Christian. That's not the truth. See, if you know Christ, your Savior, your relationship with God is built around the truth. And the truth, that center truth right there, that is the part of our salvation, is the gospel. All right? And we are centered around the gospel truth. We're centered around Jesus. We're centered around what Jesus did for us, that he died and was buried and rose again. And someone that says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I believe in God. Or I go to such and such a church once in a while and yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm not a pagan. That doesn't make them a Christian, does it? If their life is centered around, I've been good, or I've been a nice person, or my mom and dad were Christians, or I go to a church, then they're putting something else here instead of the gospel as the hub, instead of the truth as the center of their relationship. They're putting something else like their friendship or their relationship or their mom and dad or something else in their life. That's the center of their Christianity. That's not the truth. And so everything we believe must be centered around the truth. And it is the truth that bonds us, not the name Christian. Now let's move on to the second thing I want you to see about the truth. And that is the truth is the Christian's hope. It's our hope. Verses 2 and 3. It says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy, peace, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. All right, truth is a Christian's is in a Christian and will never leave. He says there in verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. All right? So the truth is in us. If the truth is the center of our life, it's the hub of our life, it's the central focus of our life, if that is the truth, all right, and the truth is God in all three of his forms, the truth is the gospel, the truth, and the truth is the center of what we do, all right, then everything in our life rotates and centers around the truth. It's all focused around the truth. And that is important for us to see. And if Jesus Christ lives in us, and he's the center of our lives, and he is in our heart, will he ever leave us? No, he won't leave us. He will always be there. And that's why John said that for the truth's sake, which dwells in us, so the truth is in our heart. All right, not only is the truth the center there, but the truth is in our heart. All right, that part deep down inside of us, the truth is in our heart. And if the truth is in our heart, and it will never leave us, it'll always be with us. It's in our heart, and it's with us, and it abides with us. Now, notice there he says, the truth's sake, which dwelleth. The word dwelleth there is the word abide. It means that it abides, or literally resides. All right, now, one thing that I want us to notice here, and this is a little bit more technical, so you older ones, put your brains working. In the Bible, John especially uses the word abide a lot. All right? It comes from the Greek word meno. And it's translated abide, dwell, those are the two main things. Abide and dwell are the two main ways that he translates it. But continue, there's some other ways that he translates it. And he uses it in two different ways. Sometimes the word abide is used as a fact. And it is a fact, as it is here, that means that something resides. The fact of residency. All right, so here he says, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. Now, do you have to do something to keep the truth dwelling in you? No. It's there permanently because God lives in you. You put your faith and trust in Christ. You don't have to keep working at trying to keep him there. So it can't be, it doesn't mean to abide or to hang on tight. Like if you were in a boat, let's say we're going canoeing down a river and it's wild rapids, and you got to hang on tight. If you don't hang on tight, you're going to get thrown over and lose, you know, drowned in the water. So hang on tight so you can abide in the boat. All right? That's something you're doing to hang on. We don't have to hang on tight to stay saved. We don't have to hang on tight to keep being a Christian. We're a Christian because of Christ dwelling in us. And that is something that's permanent. So sometimes the word abide here or dwell means to reside. It means that's where I live. That's what lives in me. It's something that is permanent. Other times it is used as a duty, something we need to do. And in order to continue a relationship, in order to bear fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and ye will bear fruit. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, hang on tight, don't lose your salvation, and you'll bear fruit. That wasn't what he said. Doesn't even make sense. All right? He was saying that we need to abide in him. We need to stay close to him. And if we stay close to him, we will bear fruit. All right, so it isn't the idea of hanging on tight, but it's staying close to him that we may be able to bear fruit. He was not dealing there with residing. He wasn't saying that if you don't, if you are truly saved, you're going to bear fruit. He's not saying that it's an automatic thing there, that you're residing in Christ and therefore you're going to bear fruit. All right, I kind of messed that one up. Sorry about that. And if you got confused, we'll straighten it out later. Another example is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John 2:28 is where he says that that we need to abide in Christ so that we're not ashamed before him at his coming. All right? So there he's obviously talking about staying close to Christ in order to not be ashamed when he comes. And so there's both the duty of abiding and there's the fact of abiding. And these two are sometimes confusing, and I probably made it more muddy than it was to begin with, and I apologize. Okay, then the indwelling truth gives God's blessing. Back to our text again. He says there, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with you forever, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God our Father, and so on. All right? So he's saying that this grace and mercy and peace is a result of the truth that dwells in us. And so because the truth dwells in us, we have God's blessing. And that's what he's teaching us here. We have the blessing of God. And the truth of God and the blessing of God go together. And notice at the end of the verse 3, he says, in truth and love. Truth and love. Notice he said truth first. He didn't say in love and truth. He said in truth and love. It's because truth comes first. Before we have a love relationship with God, we must believe the truth. Before we have a love relationship for each other as Christians, we must believe the truth. It isn't just that we all just love each other because, you know, we're all nice people. It's because of the truth. So truth comes first and then love follows. And that's what John was emphasizing here. All right. Now, the third thing I want us to see about truth is that truth is the Christian's manual. It's the church's, the Christian's manual. Now, a manual is a book that you read that tells you how to do something. All right. Those things that I never like to do. All right, so you get a new project, or you know, you buy something, and you're supposed to read the manual. I don't like reading the manual. I'll figure it out myself. All right, so you just try to figure it out yourself. Forget about reading the manual, and a lot of times we goof it up, mess it up because we didn't read the manual. All right, and the truth Now remember, that what is the truth? Truth is God. The truth is the Bible. The truth is Jesus. The truth is the gospel. And so we need to know the truth. We need to study the truth if we're going to be able to understand how to live the way we're supposed to live. And in verse number 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we received a commandment from the Father. Now, he says, I found of your children walking in the truth. Now, he's talking to Korea now, and he says, now, Korea, I found of your children walking in the truth. And that was an exciting thing for John. John was happy about that. And remember, John's an old man now. He's an old man, probably white hair, old man, kind of wobbly. He says, I rejoice that I find you, some of your children walking in the truth. And that was a blessing to John. He was happy about that. Now, in order for them to be walking in the truth, three things have to be true. If you're going to walk in the truth, same thing with each of us here tonight. If you want to walk in the truth, three things have to be true. Number one, you need to have heard God's truth. All right? What is the truth? Truth is the gospel, remember? So you got to hear the gospel and about Jesus and that he died and was buried and rose again. You got to hear that before you can respond to it. Number two, you have to receive the truth. All right, you got to hear the truth, you got to receive the truth, and number three, you need to study the truth if you're going to walk in the truth. You need to study the truth. You're not going to be able to walk in God's truth if you know nothing about him. That's pretty basic. All right, so you got to hear the truth that leads you to salvation, you got to believe the truth, and then you need to study the truth. Study the truth. And we need to study the Bible in order to be able to walk in God's truth. Now, look at that little tiny word of. Very important word. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. The word of there comes from a particular Greek word that means out of. Out of. It's the idea of John said, I found out of your children. In other words, not all of them, but of your children, I found some of them that were walking in the truth. And that made John very happy that some of them were walking in the truth. But the sad thing is that means some of them weren't. Now, tonight, as we look around our room here, we don't have an awful lot of people here, but we're either walking in the truth or we're not walking in the truth. We're either walking close to God or we're not walking close to God. There's no other option. You only got two choices. So if we're walking in the truth, then we're not walking out of the truth. But if we're walking out of the truth, we're not in the truth. It can't be both. All right? And John was very happy that some of them were walking in the truth. Now, one of the things that we need to make sure is that we are always walking in the truth. God wants you to walk in the truth. You children, God wants you to walk in the truth. That means you need to obey what you know that God wants you to do. Obey your parents. Do what you're told to do. Do right. Talk right. Act right. Be right. Do what God wants you to do. You say, oh, I sometimes don't feel like it. Well, let God be in control of your life. Just say, God, take my life. Use me. You know, every one of you are old enough to make those kind of decisions. To let God take control of your life. And let God guide you. So you need to walk in the truth. Now, there's several commands in the New Testament that talk about our walk. We're not going to go into detail, but let me list off a few of them. The Bible tells us in Romans 13:13 that we're to walk in honesty. We're to walk honest. And we're to be honest among all men. So God wants us to walk in honesty. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. He tells us in Galatians 5:16 and 17 that we're to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And he tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we're to walk in good works. To do things that are pleasing to God. Walk in good works. Ephesians 5:2, he says we are to walk in love. In Ephesians 5:8, he says we're to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15 and 16, he says we're to walk circumspectly. That means very carefully. Choosing our steps carefully. Not to step in something we shouldn't step in. We're to walk carefully, circumspectly. So we're to walk circumspectly. Then in Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, he says we're to walk worthy of the Lord. To walk worthy of the Lord. And then the last one, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, he says we're to walk in wisdom. Wisdom is that God-given ability to make right choices. So we're to walk in wisdom. Now, walking in the truth is a command. It isn't an option. God didn't say, you know, it'd be a good idea if you walked in truth. It's what God wants you to do. God wants you to walk in the truth. Remember what the truth is. Truth is God. The truth is the Bible. The truth is the gospel. The truth is all that God has told us. The truth is the center of our relationship with God. It is the gospel. It is the word of God. It is what God wants. So if we're going to walk in that, if the Bible is part of the truth, all right, and we're to walk in the truth, we're going to walk in the center of God's will, that means the Bible has to be part of our life every day. That means we have to have a close relationship with God every day. That means, first of all, we've got to be saved. We have to believe the gospel. And all of this is the truth, and that's the center of our relationship with God. It's the center of our relationship with other Christians. And God wants us to walk in the truth. Walk in the truth and stay close to God. Now, in our lives, if we're not walking in the truth, well, then we're walking in error. We're walking in something that is not true. And that's not what God wants. God wants to walk in the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." We're to walk as Christ walked. If we say we abide in Christ, we know Christ, we have a relationship with Christ, then we ought to walk like he walked. That's an important thing for us to do. So this evening, as we consider these first four verses, we've talked about truth. Truth. What is truth? Well, truth is the gospel. Truth is the fact that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day to pay for our sins. Truth is Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is the Bible. Truth is God. Truth is all that we believe in as far as our salvation. It's all centered around the Word of God. The Bible is the center of our relationship with God. And so the Bible and the truth of the Bible is to be the center of our relationship with other people. So when you find other Christians that you are attracted to, that our relationship ought to be centered around the Bible, not just centered around, "Oh, I like them, they're a nice person," but centered around the Bible. And so the Bible is the hub. The Bible is our center. And that's why John was able to write to Korea and say that he loved her and her children in the truth. He loved them in the truth. And he said, "Others that know the truth also love them in the truth." And that the truth will be with us forever. It'll never leave us. The truth produces God's grace and mercy and peace in our lives. And the truth is that which we are to walk in. God wants us to walk in the truth. I wonder tonight, are you walking in the truth? Have you walked in the truth today? Have you been doing what God wants you to do? Have you been obeying God? You've been obeying your mom and dad? You've been doing what is right? Have you been reading your Bible? Been praying? You staying close to God? Keep sin out of your life? That's walking in the truth. See, the truth needs to be at the center of your life. If the truth is not at the center of your life, you're not walking in the truth. That's what it needs to be. And if that's not what's true about your life tonight, that's what you need to do. You need to ask God, "God, please forgive me and help me to walk in the truth. Help me to keep the truth at the center of my life."